Okay. Will this interfere with it? All right, I'm Michelle, I'm an addict. I forgot my basic text and I don't ever speak without it, so I'm really off my square right now. If you could help me reopen, please. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference, just for today. Somebody said, I don't think I've heard her lead. Well, I'm not sharing my lead. I'm sharing on honesty, actually. But yeah, she's heard it twice. The thing is with mine, though, you know, like you're here long enough and like when you apply this program, your lead never stays the same when you do give it because you have the years of experience and the applied change combined that your story's always changing, right? But like if we're going to talk about honesty, I didn't want to come here today. It's fucking cold. It's cold, it's wet, and I was like, oh, I got to drive 40 minutes. But like this is what we do. We show up even when we don't want to show up. At least that's what I was taught. You know, honesty, we don't like honesty. Addicts in general are deceitful people. I know my old sponsor, she used to say like deceit was her first drug of choice because like it wasn't about the drug. It wasn't about that. It was about the obsession and compulsion to do something you're not supposed to do, and getting away with it became a thrill, right? It always leads us to bigger and better things, I suppose. You know, but if I'm anything, I'm blunt and I'm honest, and anybody that knows me knows that. And I take pride in that, damn it, because nobody could believe a word I said in my addiction. I mean, my mom would hide her purse and my kid's sister's piggy banks, and nobody believed me if I said where I was, and nobody believed me when I said I wasn't high when I really wasn't high because I was typically high. You know, I couldn't be taken at my word. I couldn't be trusted. Nobody ever depended on me, and nobody ever expected me to show up. And throughout this process, like, I'm the opposite of all of that now. You know, like, if I tell you I'm going to be somewhere, I'm there. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it. If I say something about you, I'm going to say it to you. That's just how I am. I don't believe in that bullshit. You know, my kid is, my youngest, she's involved in literally everything except soccer. And her coach for cheer, she runs that squad much like we run NA. Much like, you know, like there's a lot of things I see. She's not one of us. But there's things where I can see, like where we apply our principles. This woman already has them. And that's amazing because we don't see that very often from the normies. You know, like the girls, when you're here, you're sisters, you're cheer sisters. That's all there is to it. You know, two of the coaches were whispering something to each other. Now, mind you, I know what they were saying and it wasn't child appropriate, but she used them as an example and she stopped practice and said, what's that? And Coach Allison looked at her and said, huh? Nikki said, what were you whispering? Because we don't do that here. If you have something to say, say it to the entire squad. And Coach Allison was like, then she realized she was being used as an example and not really being scolded. But, you know, like I'm the same way because if people couldn't be honest with me, if my predecessors who were here, the people that were here long before any of us, if they weren't honest with me, how was I ever going to learn? You know, yeah, Amanda said about me having 17 years. Yes, my clean date is December 25th, 2003. It was just last year. Thanks, man. You know, it was just last year that there was like this thing that came up with H&I, and I wanted it to be my way, and I called my sponsor, and she was like, no. And I called a friend in the rooms, and he kindly, because he's kind no matter what, I don't know how he does it, but he's like, no. And so I called somebody who's actually sitting here under this pavilion, and he was like, fuck no. You know, and he said, I don't care what way you spin it, I'm not going to co-sign your bullshit, Michelle. I wonder who that was. But he was right. He was right. It's not my job to adapt the steps, the traditions, you guys, the program, the meetings. It's not my job to try to adapt that to fit me, right? If I don't like what's going on in a home group, I guess I should either shut up or join it and help. If I don't like what's going on a committee or feel like they could use some help, some experience, strength, and hope, I'm not going to sit around and complain about it. I'm going to join the committee and help. You know, I was doing dishes this morning and I was listening to a meeting on Zoom. I could barely hear because they didn't have the computer that they normally have. But like the little bit that I did hear was people talking about like the things that they're still struggling with, like their insecurities and their doubts and their fears and a couple of the things that like they're insecure about. And the only, that used to be me with a lot of those things, right? And the only way I was able to work through those things is one, to sit through it, don't use no matter what, and two, you know, be open enough, open-minded enough to like face the truth and get honest with myself about things. People here who were here when I got here, you guys got it a little more soft and gentle than some of us did when we got here. There were no women when I got here. I came through the halfway house in Johnstown. There was like maybe one, two. Then they started sticking around a little bit. Those are the women that like taught me how to be honest, taught me how to be honest with myself, taught me how to be true to myself, true to my morals, true to my beliefs. You know, my sponsor played a big part in that. I had a different sponsor than I do now. But each of my sponsors have played such an important role in my life of like not only teaching me self-worth and self-respect and integrity, but like applying that in all my affairs so that I can be true to myself and be like, you know what, like, I don't really deserve that bullshit. Or, you know, it got to the point where like if I did do anything slimy, sneaky, or anything like that, it just didn't feel good anymore. Like, you assholes ruined that for me. You know, but that's a good thing. Like, it really is. And, but then something that, like, I had to learn was, like, I had to learn how to be honest in a loving way. You know, because I would just, in the middle of a group this size, call you out on something. It was nobody else's business. You know, like, I'm not going to give examples because that's just fucked up. But, I mean, and it wasn't like, it always came from a place of love. I just went so many years with not knowing how to love myself that I didn't know how to portray it with love, right? Thank you. I'm gonna cry. You know, like I used to doubt myself. It's amazing what God puts like right in your face. I used to doubt myself. I used to doubt, am I doing it enough? Am I a good enough mom? Am I a good enough addict? Am I good enough sponsor? And I remember this person said to me one day, she's like, Michelle, you're the type of person that crawls in dumpsters to save kitties. You are that good person, you know. But like, I wouldn't know that without you teaching me that. Like, I wouldn't know that. And it's not always people with more time than me that are teaching me shit. You know what I mean? The different newcomers that have come through my life recently, somebody made the comment, I did an H&I workshop last year, I don't know, somewhere down here at something, and they said, I remember you coming along and following her, and I figured if you could do it by following what she's doing it, then I can do it too. And I almost started crying, because like, that's what we do, right? Even if we reach one person, because I said, well, technically, there were six that started following me, and we're down to one. As sad as that is, that's our statistics, right? But at least we touched that one. At least we brought that one in, because that ultimately is our primary purpose. I had to learn that, like, if I do things, you guys know I'm not a leader. You know I'm not in charge of NA. I'm not in charge of my home group. I'm not in charge of the H&I committee. I'm not your leader. Neither's Lance. Nobody in here is anybody's leader. Predecessors are here to guide us, most definitely. But we're not the president of Narcotics Anonymous, right? To the outside world, though, you guys know that, but to the outside world, one or two of us known to be from here, like, we represent NA to them. And if we act like fools, when we're out there, you know, I used to get into fist fights at meetings. Like, I was blunt, bold, gonna tell you how it is. And when I got here, I was pretty rough around the edges. And like, if you hurt me, I was gonna hurt you twice as bad. That's just the way it was. But like, then it dawned on me through some growth and some self-honesty that like, behaving that way didn't make me feel good anymore. Kind of made me feel good when I punched her in the face that one time, just a little bit. But then like, the aftermath of it did not feel good at all. I felt like I used. I woke up the next day and was just miserable, you know, and I didn't get clean to be miserable. And this morning when I was doing dishes and I was listening to these people struggling with these different things, this like, I had this overwhelming sense of gratitude, because those are the things that I used to struggle with that I don't have to anymore, because of my predecessors being honest with me, because of doing my step work. I know I was in a very toxic relationship for a very long time. And when I finally, never once did my sponsor say, you need to just leave him. She was there every time. He fucked up again. Is that my kid? Nope, that's my sponsor. I'll call her back. She was there every time he hurt the kids and I, every time, helped me wipe my tears. But I'll tell you, when I was ready to leave that, she was right there with me. You know what I mean? She had me write a fourth step on our entire relationship. You think your first fourth step is bad? Try doing one on a toxic ass decade long relationship. You know, because it identified a lot of truths that I didn't want to see about myself and about him. You know, it helped me realize that like, I was stuck in a cycle of trying to carry somebody through Narcotics Anonymous that had no intentions of trying to do this shit himself. I was stuck in a cycle of, nope, I can't have my family broken apart. I can't, like, I relived the trauma that I had with my biological father. You know, even though I had a wonderful dad, stepdad who adopted me, he's like, he adopted Liz at this point now too. Not legally, but out of love. My parents are pretty cool. But like, I don't even know what the hell I was saying now. Trauma, that we have so much of it. Like, we come in here and we forget that, you know, he might have 30 years clean, but what has he got going on in his life right now that we don't even know anything about? You know, you might have 12 years clean, but how do we know what you're still carrying around PTSD-wise? Like, I had to learn, you know, to be honest in a softer, gentler way. And I've also learned that sometimes it's okay to just say, okay. You know, sometimes it's easier to say what you need to say and then walk away, because, like, if you're speaking the truth, you really don't need to stand there and argue it, let alone fist fight over it. You know, it's crazy where I started to where I am now, like, to go from ghetto fabulous to, oh my God. But like, last night we were sitting around a fire out back my house, and like, I was sharing some things that I've never shared with anybody except my sponsor. And I didn't realize how good that would feel. It's not like I was hiding it or keeping it from anybody. It's just not anything I would generally share about on a topic at an H&I commitment, this, that, or the other thing, because some things are meant for a more intimate setting, right? But that trauma is still there for me. You know, that past experience is still there for me, which presents itself in my life to this day with different things. But like, I'm not cursed with this disease any longer because I've found Narcotics Anonymous. You know, like, the solution is right here. I hate not having my basic text. Like, I really do, because there's so much in it that I carry along with me and I've carried with me throughout this journey. I like to, like, pop it open and pull stuff out of it, but I'm trying to do that with my brain right now because I forgot my basic text. But the solution is in the literature. The solution is in the steps. You know, one of my favorite people in the entire Lamana area, she always says, you know what, you don't believe me, the literature don't lie. Because it doesn't. You know, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, you can hate me for what I have to say, but like, flip open the basic text, you know what I mean? Flip open this, flip open that, as far as like, everything that was put together for us at one point, And I remember through the history of Narcotics Anonymous, because I like to read up on history stuff, and the one book that I read, like, NA, when it was first formed at one point, then fell apart. They weren't following any of the traditions. They were literally, like, requiring people to say certain things before they could walk in the door and all kinds of crazy shit. And it crumbled and fell apart. And then when Jimmy Kay and them put it back together again, his exact words were, "This time we must adhere to the traditions." And if my predecessors hadn't done that, they wouldn't have been here. NA wouldn't have been here for me to be here, for me to be here for you now to be here. You know, the Unity Retreat I hold near and dear, I've served on it many a times over the years. I remember my very first retreat, there was a chairperson who was practically on his own that year and had like nobody stepping up to help. And I remember being at the retreat and like him running around playing like almost every role at this point. But what I remember most, which helped me fall in love with Narcotics Anonymous, with Lamana, with service, with our Unity Retreat, was like he smiled the entire time he did it. He wasn't bitter, he wasn't resentful, you know what I mean? And I can, that's like such a moving moment in my life that like I remember, it was like, God, to have that much love for something, you know? And it was great to realize how to love something other than myself and like what I wanted, you know? Not that I necessarily loved myself, because I didn't know how in the beginning, but I had tunnel vision, give a shit about you. And give a shit about anything other than like getting the next one, right? And everything's the opposite of that. People who don't know us and we try to explain us to them, they don't get it, because for somebody who has never struggled with addiction, they have no idea what it's like to be drowning yourself and trying to save yourself at the same time, right? Like, we have that bond. We can be completely different. It talks about it in our literature, like, we don't care about your religion, we don't care about your sexual orientation, we don't care about race, you know, creed. Like, we care about the fact that you're trying not to die, you know? So we can be like polar opposites, and I'm still gonna do whatever I can to just try to be there for you guys the way that people were there for me, and the way that they're still there for me. You know, it doesn't matter how much clean time we get. We don't get recovered. We don't get perfect. I'll never be the perfect recovering addict, thank God, because I don't want to know all the answers. I'll never stop learning. The minute that I think that I'm done learning is the minute I've stopped growing, you know? And I had to let go of that because I'm still stubborn a little. Sis now, maybe.
On a good day.
But I'll tell you what, like, through six and seven, like, there was a lot of, and a little bit of step four, realizations that I came to, that, like, I was able to take some of those character defects and use them to my advantage, you know? I remember, this is something I always share, when I first got to the halfway house and they gave me my buddy, she was a little older than me, a little rougher than me, which, okay. And she looked at me and she was like, "How old are you?" I said, 23. She said, "What was your drug of choice?" And I didn't know, we don't care about that here in NA. So I told her. She said, "How many rehabs you been to?" I said, "One." "Ha, good luck." And she laughed in my face. Nice buddy, huh? So I held on to that resentment for a long time early on when I got out of that halfway house. And, like, when I wanted to use, I'd picture her face and be like, "Fuck you." You know, not gonna do it. Simply to prove her wrong, I'm not gonna do it. You know, I did that just because that's where I was at the time. I hadn't worked any steps yet. But, like, over the years, I've done that with different things of, like, hey, I want to be so stubborn and determined, then let me put that energy into the Unity Retreat. You know, let me put that energy into the H&I committee. Let me put that energy into my sponsees. Let me put that energy into making sure I keep my connection open with my sponsor. It's not my sponsor's job to, like, carry me through. She picks me up when I fall, but I gotta do the footwork. I'm the one that has to walk, right? I'm the one that has to put one foot in front of the other. That woman, I can honestly say, has never, I strive to be, every day I continue to strive to be more and more like her, because there's never been a time where I haven't seen her practice unconditional love. She really doesn't give a shit who you are or anything. I mean, she's had sponsees like stealing wrecker cars and shit. She still loves them to this day. She still helps them to this day. And when you walk in her house, when you walk in her and her husband's house, you feel love. Like, as soon as you get there, there is no, can I use the bathroom? May I have a drink? It's, you're here, your family, help yourself. You know, and that's the way I try to be day in and day out, because sometimes that's all we need is a hot meal and a friendly hug, right? And I don't know, her and Rich L, he wore this hoodie today because he actually designed this logo years ago. And he's one of my favorite humans in the entire world. He's the one that, like, doesn't know how to be mean. Like, he's never known how to be mean, I don't think. He says everything with kindness, and he has nothing but love and good intentions behind everything he says and does. And he's, like, one of the most important people in my life. And he's taught me a lot about myself. He's taught me a lot about how to love me, because he loved me when I couldn't love me, you know. And even within the last couple of years, it wasn't easy leaving that toxic relationship. You know, it wasn't easy having to admit why, because of my things that I wasn't working on by trying to carry him through his recovery, why I was hanging on to that toxic relationship for so long, right? And then, like, I had to take a look at, why do I keep ending up in toxic relationships? I shouldn't have to get up and hunt down my fiance. Why am I agreeing to marry somebody I have to get up and hunt down? Right? People like Rich and Cheryl taught me how to take a look at that stuff, especially Cheryl with you know, through the different assignments that she's given me and things that I haven't wanted to, you know, things that I haven't wanted to admit, things that I haven't wanted to fix or work on. But I'll tell you what, when I finally, like, push through and actually do it, everything starts to feel a lot better, you know, and I start to feel, I get my self-worth back, you know. I allowed somebody to drain my self-worth and my self-respect for a long time, and it's been taking quite a few years to, like, build it back up, you know. But this is where you, like, I see the change in my life, because since then, you know, I've been in one or two relationships, not many, because I'm just fucking exhausted. Like, I'm a mom, I work full-time, I serve NA, I don't have time for men. They're just too much work. And, like, through that, though, you know, those two relationships, it's crazy how we learn to come together, to talk, to express ourselves, to love one another, to be open-minded. And these people on the outside don't know how to do any of that, right? It's like talking to a brick wall. And no, they're great guys. Like, I would never disrespect them or anything like that. But there were certain things that, you know what, I just deserve better. Probably a couple years ago, if a guy had said, hey, I'm going to buy this big house and all you got to do is move to another town, I would have been, okay, now I'm going to buy my own house because I'm going to stay in my town. Because this is where my kids have been going to school since they started school, and this is where they cheer and play basketball and volleyball and are in Girl Scouts. And even when I left their father, I didn't uproot them, and it would have been a lot easier to move back home to where my parents are. And I wasn't going to do that, so I wasn't going to sacrifice them for a man either, or a house. Or anything, but you know what? Anything he thinks he could give me, I can get my damn self. I mean, I've had to learn that about myself too. Like, if we're being completely honest, I forgot. I allowed a man to pound me every day, verbally and emotionally, that I forgot what I'm capable of. And I forgot how I was raised, because a few of you here know my mother. I don't fucking depend on a man for anything, or a partner in general, because whatever they give you, they can also take from you. Get it yourself. And that's what I've been doing the last 3 years, you know. He destroyed my credit. He damn near bankrupted me. I fixed all that. I think it was like $16,000, which might not be much to some, but it was a lot to me trying to raise these kids on my own, right? And, you know, I fixed that. I got rid of the house. You know, if it's not practical, it's not spiritual. And like, yeah, I could keep the house, but like we were barely making it, which stressed me out even more, right? Got rid of the house, took a smaller apartment, had to humble myself. I'm thinking, all these years clean and I got to do this and got it, you know, I feel like I'm just starting out again. No, I'm taking my life back again. You know, bought myself a new car. Like I'm down to like, I was able to afford a car that only had one owner before me. You know, like I'm hoping in a couple years I can have one that nobody ever drove but me. And you know, I'm looking into buying a house this summer. There's nobody, my parents aren't doing it for me, like no man's doing it for me, no girlfriend either for that matter. You know, those are the things that I had to be honest with myself that like I forgot I was capable of doing on my own. You know, and as far as like raising these kids, I'm not doing that alone. I'm a single mom, okay, yeah. Like that, you know, we coined that term. But there's people in this room, in this pavilion, who are their emergency contacts. There are people under this pavilion who have picked them up, who have taken them to the doctors for me, taken them to cheerleading competitions for me, and got their hands stuck in my car and couldn't get out while they were trying to take care of my kids, you know. That shit, like, means a lot. So, like, if I be honest with myself, like, I'm not a single mom. I'm not really doing it on my own. I got a lot of backup up here. And Lance said yesterday something to the effect of, I'm proud to be a member of the Laurel Mountain Highland area of Narcotics Anonymous. Abso-fucking-lutely. And I'm sorry if I'm cussing in front of your kids. Mine aren't here. My 14-year-old, really trying not to cuss in front of her at all anymore. So I apologize, but like something I want to say, because I saw the look on the one mom's face when the baby was crying. Like, don't you ever think that any of us care? Don't you ever think that that bothers us? Your kid could be screaming the entire time I'm up here trying to talk. Your kid could run around, bang right into me. I've had that happen. We don't care because we want you here. Never say I can't go because I have my kids. And if you're here and you're exhausted, one of us will take your child for you too. Because that's what was done for me, and that's what was done for her, and that's what was done for her. Because I've watched it happen. You know what I mean? Like, I've watched it happen. I've watched people step up and do things for each other so that we don't die. I mean, honestly, if we're talking about honesty, that's our primary purpose, is to make sure we don't die, at least not of a drug overdose, right? At least not because of this disease. If I get hit by a bus tomorrow, okay, Liz, raise my kids. Finish raising the little. But I don't want my mother and father, I don't want my grandmother, I don't want my children to have to bury me because of, you know, a drug overdose or, you know, something crazy like that. So this stuff, it isn't a joke. It's not something that I come in here and just do what the fuck I want. Like, I come in here and I learn how to do what NA does because people taught me how to do what NA does, right? I was going to try to stay for Scott and Seth, and I don't know if I can because I'm cold. And I'm a wuss with the cold anymore. But I want to thank everybody on the Unity Retreat Committee, because, like, there's been years where we had two, three people trying to do this whole thing. So to see all of you stepping up and doing it, it just breathes life back into people that have been here for a while, that have been doing it and are sick of doing it and like watching you do it. Like, they reached over and started helping with the tickets, and I almost did, and I was like, no, I'm gonna sit here. I tore enough tickets. They can sit and tear some tickets. I'm gonna just chill. My kids aren't here, right? So I can cuss as much as I want. I don't have to do anything today except enjoy the retreat, which is why I'm glad other people are stepping up, because a lot of years I would be resentful that, like, everybody was out having fun at the retreat, and I'm sitting up there at the damn registration table. sitting there, you know. But it's still always when I would see one of you laughing and smiling and having a blast, it just filled my spirit to the brim. You know, when we do service, like, we give back what was so freely given to us. I remember at this dance one time, it was a Unity Retreat dance, I think. I don't know, maybe activities, but this girl said, I've never danced. She said sober. I don't say that, Nene. But she said, I've never danced sober, and I don't know any of these people. Can I stand behind you? Sure. A couple hours later, after slinging hot dogs and tickets and all kinds of shit, I look out, and she's on the dance floor shaking her ass, having a blast. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. That's why we follow the traditions, work the steps, and give back what was so freely given to us. That's all I have.